Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 43 episode 10 predictions and power rankings. And we are joined for the second week in a row by a Survivor 42 cast member. This time we have Romeo Escobar, third place finisher from Survivor 42. Romeo, thank you so much for joining us. We're at the final eight. How are you feeling about season 43 so far?
I'm actually enjoying it. I think I like the people. It's totally different experience now having played the game, like watching it and just kind of like having these flashbacks of when I was out there and the similar beaches and, oh, that's where I did this. And, oh, that's where we did that. But it's a whole different experience. But overall, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Good. That's good. It's not everybody who comes off the game after playing continues to enjoy it. So it's good to hear that you're still having fun, liking the season and just enjoying the ride with everything. But what are you thinking about the final eight that we have left? We're coming off the double boot episode. Zach was on here last week and he only got 18 points. Me and Alexa both got 19 points in this power rankings game. He had James ahead of Owen. He thought Owen was going to go home. What do you think about what happened last week in this final eight that's left?
Okay, so now the goal is to get more points in Zach.
Yes. So,
I was surprised that it was James, actually. I mean, everyone would have assumed that it was Owen. And so it was, I felt bad for James, but it's exciting. As a viewer watching, you always like those episodes where the person that you don't expect to go home goes home. So I was excited to see that. It definitely shakes up the game, that dynamic, that alliance, that bigger alliance. Carla's right-hand man is gone. It definitely changes the game and it makes things exciting. As far as Ryan, I wasn't that shocked, but I really enjoyed Ryan. You know, he, even though people criticized his game, I think that he brought something different. He's inspirational. And I'm enjoying the cast a lot.
I think Ryan really like leveled out the season. I think it's really good to have someone like Ryan because he actually shows you the survival aspect that as a fan, we really don't get to see very often. And I feel like now this final eight is really intense. I really feel like any of them could win. What do you think? Do you think it was a good move? Like, what do you think Carla and Sammy's next steps are now that James is gone and Ryan?
I don't think it was a good move for Carla. Like, yeah. I was just shocked. I'm like, that's your right-hand man. Like, I think that James would not have turned on Carla. At least it didn't appear that way to me. I think that they ran ideas to each other. So I was very surprised that she chose to side with Sammy over James that she had been with from day one. But hey, she's doing an amazing job. Another like front runner winning that immunity. And so obviously, like, and we have to remember, like, obviously after I play the game, you realize that there's a lot of things that happen out there that as viewers don't get to see. So there has to be a lot more that we're not privy to why she made that decision. But looking back as a viewer, like, it looked like it was the wrong decision mm-hmm. to get rid of James.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see how that's going to play out because I've been trying to kind of figure out who's going to pair off after this. Right. And I do feel like Carla has some good options because Cassidy is still very loyal to Carla. Sammy seems more loyal to Carla than Carla maybe is to Sammy. And it seems like we keep getting these one-offs of Jesse talking about how Carla right. reminds him of family, which is so random and it doesn't feel like it fits with the story. So that's where I feel like it wasn't a good move. But then when I look at how close Carla is with so many other people on the cast, I say, was she getting rid of the person she was worried was going to take all the credit for everything she's done? And she still has enough number ones, even though we don't really know who Carla's actual number one is at this point.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. I think she's probably one of the players that's very well positioned because she has, like you said, she has options and she can go either way. So you're right. Maybe she was thinking of further along when James might turn on her. You know, he's mm-hmm. a strategic player, so he could have done that.
She also, this hasn't aired on the show yet, so I'm not really sure where that stands, but I think nobody knows about her idol still. I feel like James would have been one of the only people who did know, and he had that knowledge of his power, so I think getting rid of that was definitely smart. There's a lot of secret idols left because nobody knows about Jesse's second idol and nobody knows about Carla's idol. There's only 8 people left, so it's getting a little tight.
Yeah. Now, we talked about this briefly prior to going live, but what's going on with Owen? And for as somebody who kind of had got stuck in a similar situation to Owen, is Owen doing kind of what you were just trying to do? And do you see any avenue for Owen to maybe get some credit for some moves prior to a final tribal?
I mean, I feel for him because you're right. I know what he's feeling. I know he's going through, like, when you feel like you're at the bottom, your name's always coming up at every tribal council. You feel like nobody wants to play with you. You don't have options. So I know that playing that way is very difficult, but I think that, for him, I think the difference is that these people that these season, we don't know where the relationships are. I don't know if you guys feel that way. Like, we know Jesse and Cody are together, but it's like, I feel like that's what's missing this season is we don't know who's, like, really aligned with who. Like, one episode, like last episode, we saw that Jesse and Cody brought in Gabler. Before that, I didn't think they had a relationship. Then we've seen that one off with Carla and Jesse, but then we haven't seen them again. We know Cassidy and Carla are together, but then, like, where does Sammy fall? How did Sammy get so close to Carla? So we don't, it's so weird because we don't really know where these relationships are coming from. To answer your question, yes, I think that Owen still has a chance to get in there with someone. Because these people are so, I feel like every episode, they're just like wanting to make big moves. So they're going to turn on each other and do different things. So he still has a chance, but I feel for him because I know what it feels like and to be at the bottom and be frustrated. And we saw him mm-hmm. get frustrated with James and I had a similar situation out there with High. So it's like, I know what it feels like. You're angry, you're frustrated. You want to play, no one wants to play with you. And it's a very tough position to be in when you're out there.
Yeah, it is really weird because I feel like in recent seasons and in your season too, alliances are so fluid and every day it changes, but still, like, it remains that Owen is on the bottom. So I think maybe now that this bigger alliance broke up, that could work for him. But Sammy seems very committed to Carla and not so committed to Owen. And Owen and Noelle sort of worked together, but it really seemed like out of necessity rather than wanting to work together. And I feel that way about Noelle too. I really don't know who she's aligned with, but it seems like she's less antagonized than Owen was. So she seems like she's kind of in an okay spot with it.
Yeah. So I'll just say this, like, I don't feel that Owen is at the bottom. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. We'll save that for our rankings, but yeah. I think he still has a chance to get in there.
Yeah. You were talking about the relationships here and before we get into the rankings, it's only 8 people. So it moves a little bit faster than normal, but you're talking about the relationships. I really wish that I understood Sammy's relationships with everybody better. I feel like he's mm-hmm. been an integral part of this season. And I don't understand why he feels so connected to Carla. That's my biggest complaint. The other ones, I feel like Gabler is kind of just being pulled wherever somebody needs him. Hey, we need a number. We need a number. Gabler, we're your buddies now. And that's where it's going. Cassidy feels like she's on a little bit of an island. Owen and Noel have felt on the wrong side. But I don't know why Sammy went from I'll work with Owen and I'll work with Gabler to now all of a sudden I'm going to possibly blow up Owen and Noel's game to go and talk to Carla. Like, we saw no buildup to that at all.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. It's like, where are these relationships coming from? And like every episode, it's somebody new. But the one thing that everyone has in common is that they have a relationship with her. So she's clearly doing something right.
Yeah, Carla is like the common denominator of everybody else.
Yeah, driver seat right there. Yeah, so,
she's flying the plane.
Yes. So when we get into this ranking here, so number one is who you think is the safest. Number eight is who you think is actually going to go home this week. As Alexa, I think, alluded to earlier, three idols still in play, although we don't have a knowledge of power, and the steal a vote is gone, which we'll talk about whether or not you all thought that steal a vote was actually the right move now that we've had almost, you know, 4 or 5 days to think about this. But so, Romeo, who do you think is the safest person this week?
Okay, so I actually prepared. I have my notes. I jotted down some notes. So we're
going to go
with number one. Okay, so number one's the safest. Number 10 is the
going home.
Number eight is going home, yeah.
Okay, so we're starting with number one, right?
Yeah,
correct. Yes. Okay,
so the safest for me is actually Jesse. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is I feel like, similar to Carla, he's connected to, and there's, we're clearly, as viewers, we're seeing that he has an advantage, right, that nobody knows about, mm-hmm. and that he's playing this game. But I think that in the other players might not be seeing how hard he's really playing, right? Because there's a lot of things that we don't see as viewers, but he's good. And we know that he's good with Cody, right? Mm-hmm. We know that he's good with Gabler now. They formed that connection, the three of them. He's good with Sammy, and he has that relationship, that one-off relationship with Carla. Mm-hmm. So I think he's very well positioned where no one's going to touch him next tribal.
I feel like he's kind of executing the Jeremy plan from back in Second Chances, maybe without even meaning to, where he's got Cody as a shield. And I don't even think Cody realizes that he's the shield. I think Cody just thinks like, oh, we're buddies, like whatever, we're going to go wherever. I don't think Cody really looks at himself as much of a threat in the grand scheme of Survivor. I think he's just, you know, he's just playing the game and he's doing whatever he has to do. What did you think about the fact that Jesse still has this idol and that nobody knows? Do you believe that he hasn't told anybody, or do you think he's probably told Cody by this point?
I don't think he has. I mean, if somebody else had it, there's no way that they would have been able to keep it a secret, right? Like if maybe Sammy had it, he would have told somebody. If Cody had it, he would have told Jesse. If Gabler had it, he would definitely, like, everyone, maybe with the exception of him and Carla and maybe Owen, like, I don't think they would tell anybody. I don't think Jesse has told anybody.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think he's in this game for himself, even though he's connected with Cody. I think he's willing to cut anybody at this point. So I think that him and Carla are probably the only ones that haven't shared with anyone that's still in the game about their advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Jesse at number one for the same reason. I feel like when he told us that he had that idol, I feel like that would have been the time to tell someone. And since he hasn't, I think he'll just hold on to it. I'll hold on to that info unless it becomes really necessary to save like himself and Cody. I think that they, now that they're really the only defined pair left, I think that they will have some kind of target on their back, but they have two idols between the two of them. And even if he's still holding on to Cody's idol, I think that they're so tied together that mm-hmm. Cody would still help him. I think maybe Jesse would cut Cody, but I don't think he wants to. And I think he's completely fine. I think a lot of the flack is going to fall on either Carla or Sammy for getting rid of Jesse. No, excuse me, for getting rid of James, that Jesse is not going to mm-hmm. really get in trouble.
But because Jesse was over there voting out Ryan, which really isn't going to rub anybody the wrong way. I have Carla at number one still. I've had her there for a couple weeks in a row now, and I'm going to continue to keep her there. We'll see how this move works out for her. My biggest concern with this move, we hear this all the time from losing finalists who are like one or two votes away, right? Like I remember Dom back during Ghost Island, one of his big talking points was, when he made Sebastian look like a fool, he lost jury votes, and that's when he feels he lost the game. Had he not done that, he thinks he probably goes on and beats Wendell without Laurel ever needing to cast that vote. Whether that's true or not, we don't know, but that's where he believes he lost the game. And we hear that a lot from people where it's like, I just didn't take care of that one relationship or something. My concern for Carla right now is, does her cutting James in this way lose that vote for her at Final Tribal? Because there's only 9 days between this vote out and Carla sitting there trying to convince him to give her $1 million. A normal 10th, 9th place finish, you're going to have about 12, 13, 14 days. After 2 weeks, things don't seem as important anymore. But in a shorter time, and especially with people coming so quickly, I feel like that's going to hurt her. I still think she can win the game, and I still think she's one of the favorites, and I think she's totally safe this week because she has an idol, and I already went through all the people who think that they're number ones with Carla, but I don't know how the long term is going to work for her on this one.
Then I'll just say this. Remember, she also didn't side with Janine in the previous tribal when she went home, and she's in the jury now, so
yeah,
she probably won't get her either.
And who knows if she'll get Ryan, because we don't know what Ryan's really thinking out there, and Ryan was left out of what Carla and James and Cassidy were doing. Ryan seems to me like if Cody sits at the end, Ryan will just vote for him because he goes and catches fish and he's strong.
Oh, absolutely. He said he tried to get rid of Cassidy in his vote off confessional. He said, you know, he wasn't with Coco anymore. He felt like he wasn't part of Coco anymore. So
yeah,
I don't think he would vote for her either.
That's like where Carla's, where's the jury management come in here, especially with a lot of contenders left in the game. I mean, there's out of these 8 people, I really can see a path to the end and winning for all of them, even though some of them are way longer shots than others. But who do you have at number 2, Romeo?
Number 2, I actually have Sammy. Mm-hmm. And I have Sammy because he is good with Jesse again. He has this, obviously this strong relationship with Carla that came out of nowhere. They voted together. He has Gabler, you know, going back to the original tribes where he would include him when he felt left out. He's very smart, very impressive, you know, so young and so impressive out there. I think he has the connections, and I think we're just going to continue to be surprised by him and just realize, oh, he has a relationship with Cassidy too. Oh, he has a relationship, you know, I think we're going to keep seeing that. So I think he's number 2.
Yeah. I was reading some things in our comments last week, and Alexa, you and I didn't bring this up, but his career, and I know he's 19, so how long has this career really been going on? But he's a pet cremator, and that probably puts him in the position to have difficult conversations with people more often than other professions are going to put you in that position. And it really shined, I don't know, yeah, shined, when he was talking to Carla and said, why do you need to keep James instead of me? Like, he was able to kind of really go in, but also not feel like he was attacking her. And I feel like when you're in one of those professions, right? Like,
you as just a pet down, cremator.
Well, as a pet cremator, some, you know, but I worked at a funeral home. Like, you just sit down and you're like, person's dead. Like, that's how it is. It's messed up, but like, that's how it is. And I feel like that's really helping Sammy's game and making him seem older than he really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to hear like a confessional from Sammy that's like, in my profession, I have to deal with like crying dog parents all the time. And here's how I apply it to Carla. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said about that. I think Sammy put himself in that number 2 position to Carla versus someone like James, who was just automatically naturally there. That's really impressive, because a lot of times when people flip, they usually end up close to the bottom. But Sammy just, like you said, Phil, he pretty much just said, I'm here, take me or leave me. And she decided to take it.
Yeah. And it shocked me. It really did. But I don't have Sammy at number 2 because he doesn't have any protection right now except for alliances, which is really what Survivor's all about, right? But I have Jesse at number 2. You all had him at number 1. I have him at number 2. I think he's in a great spot. I'm curious to see if this Gabler, Cody, Jesse thing will work. If Jesse and Cody and Cassidy and Carla end up kind of being like a group of 4, it's going to be a battle of who can get their number 3 in. And I feel like that's either Gabler or that's Sammy. And who's going to be able to get their person a little bit further in the game. I don't know if the Gabler thing is going to really come to fruition. It also looked like in the preview for this week, Gabler's already talking about voting Jesse and Cody out. So, you know, don't give me too much knowledge. But I think Jesse's in a really good spot. I think pretty much everybody in this game needs to cut Jesse before final three, or they're probably looking at second or third place.
Yeah, I have Jesse at number two and not to Jesse.
No, you had him at one.
Oh, no. I have Carl at number two, Sammy at number three. We're talking about like all three of the same people. I don't think so. I agree with you guys. I actually think that depending on how people continue to get voted out, Carla does have people who are starting to get mad at her on the jury. However, for this exact week, that kind of doesn't matter right now. So I think there's kind of no one to give her any flack because Ryan's gone. That's an uncontroversial vote out. And James being gone, she'll be able to speak to that. And she'll be able to say, you know, like Sammy committed himself to this group. I still have Cassidy. So I don't think she's really going to have to like catch a lot of heat after last week. She has this idol that nobody knows about. And still Sammy sees her as his number one. Cassidy still sees her as her number one. Jesse to some extent sees that. So she can pick off Cody or like the Owen and the Noels who don't really have a ton of leverage right now. So I think she's in a good spot and I have Sammy really high. Somehow he is like continuing to either command these votes or try to make himself in control of these votes. And nobody is frustrated by that or nobody feels like he's taking away from them. And I think that's really impressive. He's putting what he wants out there and he's either getting it or if he's not getting it, he's not making a big thing about it.
So when I look at Carla here and I think about the fact that James went home and Cassidy wasn't at that tribal council, I don't think Cassidy is going to be that angry that James went home. I think she was getting tired of James and I think it was becoming very clear that she was getting tired of James. She's obviously happy Ryan is gone. Is there a possibility though on this season, just as we start talking and we're looking a little bit further ahead, but Romy, that's the only time we're going to have you here. So we might as well talk about it, right? Is there a possibility here that Cassidy and Carla could end up in a final three where we end up with kind of a Michelle Aubrey situation where a lot of people could be shocked by the way it plays out, but it really does just come down to the jury management aspect of the game, which is where Michelle beat Aubrey because Cassidy right now hasn't pissed anybody off. And even though it seems like Carla is clearly playing the better game, if it gets down to it and they're sitting next to each other, if you just like Cassidy more, and I mean, she has the underdog story going for her, could she end up pulling votes from Carla because she hasn't gotten her hands dirty?
Yeah. And remember, if you remember in this last episode, Jesse, when he was debating whether with Ryan or Cassidy, he said Cassidy is strategic. She's social. So clearly people see that she's a strong player. So you're right. She could end up in the end and she has a shot too. So I think it could definitely happen. That combination can definitely happen. And I had Carla number three. So we're talking about the same three people. So
yeah,
I know. I almost don't want to put Sammy at number three just so that I have like a different top three in a little bit of a way. But going back to the Ryan thing, do you think voting out Ryan was the right move? Or do you think Jesse and Cody missed an opportunity to get rid of Cassidy who actually could win the game?
I think for their sake, I think it was the wrong move because Cassidy was a stronger player and she's a bigger threat to win the game. Mm-hmm. You know, she has Carla. And they didn't know that James, you know, until they showed up, they didn't know that James, so they didn't know that he was going to go. So she was good with him. And she's just a stronger player. So if it's Cassidy and Ryan, let's say if he had made it to the end, she was going to beat him. So I think it was the wrong choice. Ryan was a simple vote. It doesn't really make a difference. It doesn't make anybody angry. And maybe that was the route that that's the route that they were going. They didn't want to piss Carla off. They didn't want to piss anybody off. But for the game's sake, it was the wrong move. It should have been Cassidy. Although I'm glad it wasn't Cassidy. I really like her. I think it should have been her.
Yeah.
That's a good point. There's Jesse and Cody even say, they're like, oh, how would we explain this to Carla? Like, that's how impressive Carla is, that if they vote out one of her allies, they would have to like explain themselves to her.
Yeah. And I think that really played into it. I think being worried that Carla was going to be angry with them probably changed their minds and like made them say, okay, we have to stick and vote out Ryan instead of Cassidy, which we'll see how that ends up actually going down. But I am going to put Sammy at three because I think that Sammy is clearly safe. And I think the next five are all in danger of going home. I think there's a way that any of them go. I think Noel and Owen, in my opinion, are probably in the most danger. But if Gabler or Cassidy got a stray bullet this week, or if Cody got voted out because Jesse didn't give the idol back, like, I wouldn't be shocked by any of that happening this week. So I have to put Sammy at three and just keep saying I'm impressed with his game. He is surprising me. Nobody picked him for their fantasy team, which is really pathetic. We had 16 picks and nobody picked him. But here we are, and he's still in the game. And I think he's a legitimate threat. I don't know if he beats Carla or Jesse if he gets to the end and sits next to them. But I think he has a compelling argument to beat them. And I think right now, if he sits next to anybody else, he would beat them. And how many times have we heard him say on this season? And Romeo, I'm sure you look at the edit now so much more even that you played. But how many times have we heard Sammy say, I'm going to be the youngest winner ever? We've heard it 20 times already.
Yeah. Yeah. And one last thing I'll say before we move on about my third choice, which is Carla, is that losing James, you know, might not have been the best choice for her, but it also might work out to her advantage because now she's a better option for the other players, meaning she's no longer connected to her number one. She still has Cassidy, but, you know, she becomes a better option for Jesse, Cody, Sammy, and all these people to see her as her number one because she lost her number one. So yep. That's why she's number three.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect way to put it because I think that was Sammy's argument. Are you saying you need to keep James because he's your number one? And I'm not. Well, then I'm going to try to vote you out anyway because you're not doing me any good. And I think this does open it up for people and it'll be interesting more to see. Cassidy, I feel like definite number one with Carla. Sammy, I feel like has definitely made his bed and is number one with Carla. But is Jesse going to be able to kind of, oh, I'm number one with Carla, but in reality, he's over there playing the Stephen Fishbach, JT Thomas game with Cody.
Right.
So, Romeo, who do you have at four?
At four, I actually have Gabler.
I do too.
Right. I feel like the reason why I have him is because he's not going home next. I mean, even though he's not, you know, part of like nobody's number one, or I think for the next vote, I think people are going to use his vote to pull him in whichever direction they want to pull him in. Because that's his value to the game at this point is he's a number to somebody. Whether Jesse and Cody see him as a number, I'm sure, you know, Sammy sees him as a number. He's just a number, you know, so I think he's definitely number four.
Yeah, and he could also very well win an individual immunity. It's like him, Owen, and Cody are sort of the ones who are always up there. I think you're completely right. I think he way back at the merge, he was very high energy, and now he's like, okay, like Cody and Jesse, you guys come to me. They went to him. He didn't go to them. Mm-hmm. So I think he's doing what he said he wanted to do of just let people approach him and sort of make himself a little quieter. And I think if anybody is mad about James or Ryan going home, Gabler is not the person that they're going to point to. And I think him not being in a duo is going to make him really attractive right now because people could go for Cody and Jesse. They could go for Carla and Cassidy, but no one's going to sit around and be like, man, Gabler's running this. He's got to go.
Yeah, and he's just
I'm still nervous he could go home, though. I think the top three we talked about are really safe. Anybody else I'm a little nervous about.
Gabler's just not – shouldn't be a threat to anybody either. And you look at Coco, what's remaining of Coco. There's only two people remaining from Coco, right? Am I right on that? Just Cassidy. It's just Cassidy and Carla.
Yeah.
So you just have the two of them, but they're tight. And then you go over to Vessi, and Cody and Jesse, we all know, are tight, and we know Noel is kind of just floating around out there.
Right.
But on Baca, none of those three guys are tight. Like, and it's really not coming through at all. So where does Gabler become a threat to you, even from a number standpoint? If you can pull him in before somebody else does, great. And if you do pull him in, you're going to try to protect that number because he's the easiest person, in air quotes, to beat right now at the final three. But I still don't necessarily think he's going to be easy to beat at final three if he gets there. I think he could definitely make an argument that would get him votes if he got there.
I agree because he's likable and we, you know, nobody dislikes Gabler, you know? So I think he does have an argument too, if he gets to the final three.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really becoming clear. Early on in the season, we were getting a lot of confessionals about, oh, Gabler is so annoying and you don't get him and blah, blah, blah. And now that since Ellie went home, the tone on Gabler has 100% changed.
That's what it was. He's 100%. Like, that was his goal, his mission to get out Ellie. Once she was gone, he's now chill.
And it's all good.
Great time. He loves everybody. I mean, I have Gabler at 4-2. I think I was thinking maybe Cody, because I do have Cody at number 5. So I was thinking maybe Cody, just because Cody has an idol. But I just worry that even though Jesse, his number one really is Cody, at least from what I understand, I still worry that if Jesse catches wind that Cody's going to go home, and that means Jesse can keep Cody's idol and have two idols and then play dumb and act like he didn't know Cody was going to go home, I think he would try to pull that right now, because now he'd be at final 7 with two idols and a final 4 fire making challenge. So he's got to win one immunity or find one tribal council to get through. Why wouldn't you try to do that? Like, I think it would make sense. So that's where I worry for Cody, but I put him ahead of Cassidy and Owen and Noelle, because he does have protection, even though he might not actually have the protection in his pocket.
Oh, 100%. Jesse would cut him, but similar. I have Cody at 5. Mm-hmm. Same reasoning. I think we have very similar lists.
Yeah.
Is it becoming too obvious? Do you feel like this season has any twists left or no?
Looking at the way this is going today with the three of us, I think it might be becoming too obvious, because mm-hmm. we clearly are, I mean, with one or two names being interchangeable, I think for the most part, we're in this, the same page with everyone. So maybe it's becoming too obvious. I hope not. I hope we're surprised. But also, you also want to be happy with the winner and the results overall. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and let me ask you this, because it does feel obvious right now, the bottom three of this 8 and all that. But do you have a clear sense of who you think is actually going to win this game?
No, I think it's between one or two people.
Who are you thinking it's between?
I think it's, honestly, if I had to narrow it down, it's either Sammy or Jesse.
You don't think Carla has a shot?
I think she would be my third choice. But if I had to, it's either Sammy, Jesse, or Carla. But if I had to narrow it down even further, mm-hmm. you know, to one person, it would be between Sammy and Jesse, I think.
Yeah.
I hope Carla, I mean, because that's my girl, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that
I would probably agree with you that those would be my top three right now. But I do think it's fun that I don't think any of them have pulled confidently ahead of anybody else mm-hmm. right now. And that does give kind of the Dom and Wendell vibes, where everybody would always complain, it's so predictable. Well, it was predictable that the two of them were going to do well, but it wasn't predictable who was actually going to win the game. And I don't know. Like, I just keep looking at, I look at the edit way too much, but I keep looking at Cassidy's and I'm like, man, it just keeps getting better and better and better and better. And how is she going to make it to the end? But her edit just keeps ramping up. And that's, you know, this is a good time to have that happening, because it's pretty much what happened with Erica and Marianne, and they both won.
So. Right. I mean, the edits, we shouldn't pay too much attention to the edit. I'll tell you that.
There you go. All right. See, we heard from somebody who was out there. So that's all that I knew.
Gotta enjoy the show too. I have Owen at number 5. I think Owen could be in a bit of trouble, because he got what he wanted. He finally got his rival out of there. So I think that can actually give him some agency now. He can work with people and not have to worry about like being so annoyed all the time. Mm-hmm. However, maybe that kind of tension is gone. So now there's sort of not as much use for him. I think a lot of people say, I'll use Gabe as their number. People might say, oh, well, maybe Owen doesn't want to be a number. Maybe Owen wants to command it a little bit. However, I think Owen has like sold that well enough to say, I just want to be on the bus. I just want to be included. So I think he's okay. I think if they want to have another simple vote like Ryan, I think he could be in trouble. But I think Owen did what he needed to do. I think he knows that was a very like public facing feud that he had. And maybe we'll do what Gabler did a few weeks ago and kind of just tone it down a little bit.
I just worry for Owen, because to me, Owen is still, he's still a $1 million threat. Like, he doesn't, yeah. I don't feel like he's completely lost. Like, Romeo, I always, I always talk about, and I do have to go in just one second here, but okay. I always talk about how with yours at the final tribal, your speech made me cry. And my wife looked at me and was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, like this is killing me because we didn't get much of your story the entire time. It was more of your frustration. And like, I always get emotional for the people who are super frustrated because it's like, there's really nothing you can do and you're out there playing the game and you just want to be a part of it and you can't do much more than what you're doing about it. I don't feel like Owen is quite at that point yet. I feel like he is still strong enough of a contender that you kind of still need to cut him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's why I said earlier, I think he still has options. He definitely has more options than I do in his position. So yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, he definitely, that's a good point that he does have, like, I think he would have a really compelling story if he got to the end. I don't know. I guess it just depends on how much the like Cody and Jesse versus like Cassidy and Carla group could blow up. Who do you have at number six?
I have Cassidy at number six.
Okay. I also have Cassidy at number six.
Well, we are very similar.
We're like doing the same thing.
You know, yeah, I think, listen, I think like her story is improving. Every episode is improving and it's getting more impressive and she's building up her resume. So I think if she does get to the final three, she does, again, she has a shot too. Mm-hmm. But I think in the ranking, she does fall in six. I mean, she still has Carla. Jesse and Cody decided to keep her over Ryan. But I think that if it came down to choosing to even solidifying Carla to be your number one even more, mm-hmm. then you cut Cassidy. And they I don't think they would have as hard of a time getting rid of Cassidy as they would getting rid of Carla. So that's why she's at number six for me.
Yeah, and they probably know that Cassidy doesn't have an advantage or an idol because of how often her name has come up and she has only been able to defend herself by having an alliance. I think you're right. I think if they wanted to weaken Carla, they could get rid of Cassidy. They were already sort of psyching themselves into doing that. But I don't know. I think, again, similar to Owen, she did just get rid of her number one person that she wanted gone. So I think something would have to happen for her name to formally come up. Maybe it's like a stray bullet kind of thing where people vote for Carla. Carla is her idol and then she goes home, but I'm not really sure. I don't know. I don't know why she would go home, but I think she could.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. She falls in number six by default, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So we probably have the same bottom two.
But no, because you had Owen at number five.
Oh yeah, you had Cody at number five. I know. Yeah, I have Cody really low. I think that's kind of bad, but whatever.
Sorry about that, everybody. But I heard everything, and I also have Cassidy at number six. So there you go. Because I don't have my headphones, so that's perfect. But I also have Cassidy at number six. I think Cassidy, just like not in a great spot. But why would Carla get rid of Cassidy now this week if Carla is in control? And I think she'll push a little bit harder this week to keep Cassidy for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, there are other options. Yeah, there are other options before Cassidy to go home next episode.
Yes.
Okay, you two have the same bottom two. I have one person in common with you both.
Romeo, you and I are the boring bunch here.
I'm disappointed. Man, I should have shaken things up, but but you're right. Maybe the edit is kind of predictable because if we're all seeing the same thing. We're all seeing the same thing. You know, it's not like, it's definitely not like 41 and 42. But yeah, 7 Owen.
Yeah, that's what I have. 7 Owen, 8 Noel.
7 Owen, 8 Noel. Exactly. And, you know, and the reason why Owen's a little bit further up than Noel is because I think Noel at this point is kind of like in a Ryan situation where if people want to have an easy vote and it doesn't matter, like it won't change anything. Why not just get rid of Noel? She's not really no one's number one. It wouldn't ruffle any feathers. An easy vote off Noel. But I will give her this. She has been impressive in the sense that despite her disability with her leg, number one, she's been, you know, killing it out there despite that. But number two, the fact that she's been able to still lay under the radar despite having that story if she's sitting in one of those final three spots and still making it this far, that's impressive. Like, yeah, people have forgotten, like, she's done such a good job at it not being, her leg not being an issue, that people have forgotten that that storyline is a really good storyline if she's sitting in those final three spots, that they're just forgetting. So kudos to her for doing that. But she's still, you know, number eight, I think.
Yeah, I think with Noelle, she's played about as well as she could have. And I would say that she probably more quickly got put into that I have no control over my own game role. Like, she lost it when Justine went home. She was kind of at the mercy of Cody and Jesse and Dwight. She worked her way back in, then they blindside Dwight and she's kind of like left out. Now she's on the bottom. And I, you know, I was talking to a couple people about this steal a vote play. And while this steal a vote made a lot of sense in the moment, it also felt maybe like it was a little bit convoluted just for the sake of being convoluted, because now she had the numbers 3-2, whether she stole the vote or not. I don't think she knows that Sammy went to Carla, but if she does know Sammy went to Carla, then it's even worse of a play that she did this. But she lost the only real power she had in this game. And now without the steal a vote and without a really close number one ally, and without the beatability factor that kind of Gabler has, even though we all kind of agree that he doesn't have it as much as some of the people might think, Noelle becomes just, let's get rid of her before we do let her get to the end. She's like a Cerie Fields at this point. Like, why would you ever let her sit at final three?
Yeah, I think, so I have Cody at 7 and Noelle at 8. I think she didn't know that Sammy went to Carla. Because I agree. I think if she did know, then, right, then it was a waste. But I think if she doesn't know, then I still think it's a good play, because
agreed.
I don't think that Sammy would have, I don't think Sammy would have done it if he didn't have Carla. So I think it also, it negates, it gets rid of the knowledge is power. She knew to do it really fast and interrupt Jeff. But I agree with you guys. I think she did use her big thing, and maybe it, this is like any person in the situation would have had this happen to them. But now it's like, okay, she doesn't really have anyone that she's super tight with, and she lost her protection. Who is going to go for her now? Yeah. Hopefully for her, Sammy takes the credit for this move. And then all of a sudden this isn't her thing. And actually I think that could really help her, because this kind of was her move that Sammy kind of took for himself. And I don't think like that was the intention of it, but I think it could work out for her if that's how it's framed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think it's a horrible thing that she did, because she did. I agree. I don't think she knew that Sammy went to Carla. So to her, in her defense, I think she played it. She felt that she needed to play it so that James wouldn't do, you know, use his advantage, and he was mm-hmm. going to go. So to her defense, not knowing that Sammy went to Carla, it was the right move for her.
Romeo, we both have Owen at 7. If Noelle and Owen both don't win immunity, do you, like, so we both have Noelle at 8, but if they both don't win immunity, do you really think that they'll target Noelle over Owen? Do you think that if they do you think that would be because of a threat level, or do you think that would be just like a relationship level?
That's interesting. Again, some of these people are interchangeable, right? Mm-hmm. Like either one of them could go and wouldn't really make a difference, or wouldn't upset anybody, or it would be both. Either one of them would be an easy vote. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I have him over her is because I think, given in that situation where both of them are vulnerable and they don't win immunity, I think he would fight harder. Mm-hmm. And would kind of maybe infiltrate himself with one person. And that's all you need to do in Survivor is just survive one vote, and then find yourself in the final three. So I think that that's the reason why he's a little, you know, number 7 and Noel's number 8, is because I think he has a little more fight in him where he will try and maneuver and find something out.
Yeah, I also think that there might be more people who go to bat for him, like where Gabler and Sammy both might say, well, we would like to try to keep Owen for at least one more vote. Why not get rid of Noelle this time? And Cody and Jesse might just say, okay, whatever, just get rid of him. It doesn't matter to us. Because she, I mean, it's crazy that somebody who really has had, you know, she hasn't had many confessionals. She hasn't had any type of agency since Justine went home. So like from both the people playing on the island and from our point of view, she should kind of be the non-factor. But because of how hard she's playing the game, and then with the built-in story that she just went through in her real life, it just, it makes her such an intimidating figure, because if she gets to the end with how she'd have to Kelly Wentworth her way to the end. And we all saw Kelly didn't quite get there. She would have to do that kind of second chances game to get to the end. How do you not reward that if she's sitting there? I just don't know how you wouldn't.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
So, all right. And Alexa, you had Cody at 7. Just real quick. Why Cody so low?
Yeah, that is pretty low for him. I guess I'm putting my eggs in Owen's basket. I do think that he's going to be able to finagle his way out of this vote. But I do think this is the week where people are going to figure out Jesse and Cody. And I think Jesse is going to have to be put in a position where he chooses to save Cody or not. And I don't think he will, because there is enough, there's not enough time to get rid of Jesse, even when he's like without Cody, because there's only a few more actual votes left. I think, you know, at the very, very beginning, we saw Carla have like mild annoyance towards Cody when he raided their camp. So I think Carla wouldn't have a problem getting rid of him. I think, you know, Owen and Noelle and Gable are probably just looking for someone to vote for. That's three votes in a group of eight. So I do think it's just one of those weeks where if he doesn't win immunity, they're going to talk about the fact that he didn't win immunity because he has been so close every time, and go and use that as an excuse to get him out.
I love Cody, but
I love him.
I would love to see him go home this week, because I feel like it would be really surprising. I really do think that that would surprise me considerably if Cody went home this week.
I hope he doesn't. I love him.
Yeah.
But who knows? But I like this is a really good
surprise tribals, though. We like when people go home that we had no clue that they were going to go home. So that would be interesting if Cassidy, Owen, Noelle, or Gabler are all safe. And it's one of these other players that goes home. That would be really fun to watch.
Totally.
And I was like laughing when James got voted out last week. I like James, and I thought James was a lot of fun to watch. But like, as he's getting mad and everything, I'm like, oh, there we go. Like, that's the survivor feeling I love. Like, he just went home and had no idea it was coming. And I really didn't know it was coming. I love when that happens. But I just don't, I think that this is a layup week. I really do. I think this is a layup week. And, but we'll see what happens. And Romeo, though, before you go, you are going to give like your top person. You know, we're not going to let you just go like 1-2, you know, oh, it could be Jesse or it could be Sammy. If you had a pick right now, who would you say is actually going to pull this out?
Then I'll give it to Jesse. Mm-hmm. I think he has a secret in the game. I think he's willing to cut anybody, like we've said before, including his number one, Cody. He's willing to cut him. He has good relationships. I don't think people in the island are – I think he's playing under the radar game to the players out there, not to us. So I think that's why he's not being seen as this huge threat when we know he's a huge threat. And I think so he's very well positioned. And I think when he gets to the end – and he can explain his game, his relationships, and that he had this, you know, that Dwight handed him that advantage at the end. I mean, he has so many points stacked in his corner that I feel like if he's sitting in that final three, he's winning it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he like crushes the final three.
Yeah, I think so. Which again, I'm like, do I want that to happen? Because at this point, it doesn't make it as fun.
You want a little bit of surprise. You don't want as big a surprise as 41, but you want you know.
Marianne was a nice surprise.
Yes,
Marianne was fun.
You want to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
and, you know, even though like I didn't get any votes, I was thrilled for her. You know?
So. Let's get a Owen, Noelle, Gabler final three, and really let it go.
It's up in the air at that point.
Yeah, that's so. Gabon. That's Gabon 2.0. That's all over again. So last thing I have, and then we'll let you get out of here. And we appreciate you coming on. This is a lot of fun. But we saw Carla win the immunity challenge last week with the finger, and we saw you win an immunity challenge, and how like big of a moment that was for you, and just like in your, you know, life and story and everything with Survivor. What are you thinking about, like, the challenges we're seeing? We've seen different people win every single time. We saw a lot of different winners on your season. Do you think that this is better for the game as a whole? And do you think that's going to start to change the way people play it? Because nobody thought you were going to be wearing the necklace at Final Four last time.
Right. And let me just say this, because I'm kind of like bitter at the fact that they didn't show this, because they couldn't, that I had an injury in my hand too. If you pay close attention, if you go back and watch, I had a huge Band-Aid on my hand, like, you know, where I had to catch the ball. And the reason being is they didn't show this, but I cut myself with a machete and I had to get stitches out there.
Oh,
my
God.
I still have, like, you know, proof.
Yeah.
So I had stitches just like Carla did. They just didn't show it. And so when the ball would come down in some motion and would hit my stitches, it was so painful. So it's like, I didn't get that moment where it's like, so impressive, you're in pain, you know? But the reason why is because the cameras didn't catch it was in the middle of the night when I cut myself with a machete and the cameras didn't capture it. So it couldn't be part of the story. If the cameras didn't see it, it didn't happen out there. And that's the reason why I just randomly appear with this bandage in my hand. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what happened, but I won. But to answer your question, it makes the game more fun. It makes it more unpredictable. It keeps people on their toes. The fact that anyone can win these challenges. And, you know, like you said, going into that Final Four last season, everyone thought Jonathan's going to win whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He's going to win.
And he's going to take Romeo with him. And that's it.
Right. And then that's it. But what for me was important, no matter how depleted my brain was out there, because, you know, it's a concentration game, and how painful what how much pain I was in with my right hand. I needed to win that because I wanted to prove to myself that I put myself in those final three chairs and nobody just took me as the goat that everyone wanted to take me. I wanted to position myself in the final three, even if I didn't get any votes at that point, which I knew I wasn't. I wanted to seal my own fate in the final three and not just have somebody take me.
Absolutely. What did you do in the middle of the night to cut your hand with a machete?
So crazy. We're so, okay. So the machete, right? It's pitch dark. People don't realize how you can't see anything. You cannot see. The only thing you could see is the little red light from the camera that you know is there. But other than that, you can't see anything. So you're constantly like feeling around when you're in the middle of the night. If you wake up and you have to use the restroom, you have to just kind of like tiptoe and touch around. So we left the machete in a tree, in a tree so that we wouldn't step on it in the middle of the night.
Smart.
But when we're walking into camp after tribal, we can't see anything. So I'm walking back to camp feeling like, where?
Oh my God.
And here I go feeling into, you know, the trees, and I reach into the tree with the machete, and I immediately like slice my hand when I do this. And I felt it immediately. I felt like the blood just squirt out, but I can't see it because it's so dark. Mm-hmm. And I immediately knew, okay, I cut myself with a machete. I'm going to need some help. But I told the producers, hey, I cut myself. They gave me a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
A Band-Aid. They're like, and I was like, okay, I could barely see. I put a Band-Aid on and I was like, what? I'll deal with it tomorrow. You know, I wasn't in pain. The next day, it was a little bloody, but it looked like it was open, but it didn't look too bad after I watched it. I was like, it's fine. But, you know, we see medical in between challenges. Mm-hmm. When I saw medical and they saw my hand, I don't want to be too graphic, but let's just say, you know, some white stuff, nerves were kind of hanging out of my hand. And the medical was like, that's not going to heal on its own.
Yeah.
Need stitches. And that was my biggest fear going out there, is like getting injured.
Yeah.
You know, especially with her hand. So she bandages and she's like, we're going to stitch you up. But in the meantime, you have a challenge. So just try to keep it clean and dry.
Oh, no.
Good luck.
Wait. Keep my bandage clean and dry on Survivor. It's raining. It's dirty. Like
the ocean is our toilet. Like
right. There's no thing. Those are the two things that you can't do out there. It was a nightmare. I mean, it was a nightmare. And then, so I remember it was raining one day, and production comes. I hope I don't get in trouble sharing this story, but production comes and you guys are getting the exclusive. Okay, so now production comes and says, "Hey, you know, it's time for your stitches." And I'm thinking, all right, okay, they're going to take me in a boat to a clinic in mainland Fiji, and they're going to stitch me up. And I was like, all right, I'm ready. I got my stuff. Let's go on the boat. And they're like, no, the doctor's here. Just go around the corner. I'm like, wait, what? You mean I'm going to get stitched up here while it's pouring down rain?
Oh,
it's very
God.
Dark. You can barely see anything. I'm dirty. Like, it's not hygienic. Like, I'm going to get stitched up here. And then the producer looks at me. I'm not going to say who. She looks at me and she says, what? Are you scared? And I'm like,
a little.
I'm like, yes, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm scared to get an infection. I'm scared of the pain. And I remember we go into the middle of the jungle. We go further apart. The cameras can't shoot this because, again, they didn't capture me getting injured. They can't. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the storyline. So, again, they're like, you know, you can't talk about it. Just put a bandage on and move on. So we go into the middle of the jungle. It's pouring rain. Somebody's holding an umbrella above me. And I'm sitting there with my dirty hand. They're trying to clean it. And they're, like, sticking a huge needle in my hand.
Where there's all the nerves, every nerve.
Where all the nerves are, and they're like, the worst part is going to be the needle, and the needle's like this big, mm-hmm. because we need to make sure that your hands are asleep before we do the stitching, and so that's going to be the most painful part. So one of the medical assistants is like, just hold my hand and scream whatever you have to do when we're, you know, mm-hmm. pricking you with the needle. And that was the most painful thing. That's the one thing I'll always remember, is sitting in the rain, dirty, mm-hmm. with an umbrella above me, being stitched in the middle of Fiji. Like,
and And
they said to me, hey, you know what? At least you're going to have a cool story and some stitches. You know, like, who else can say they got stitched up in the middle of a rainstorm in Fiji? And that was it. And I feel bad for that, you know, that medic assistant. I was like holding on for dear life, screaming. It was,
You better go out and win immunity after that.
And you know, that ball was coming with force, so it was really painful. So I was even more proud of myself. They just didn't show that part.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's awesome though, and that's the fun real stuff that people don't think about, right? You're essentially in like the war out there, just getting stitched on the island, like whatever. But it does seem like, and this is a total side note, it does seem like Survivor has done a much better job of bandaging people up since the days of like having to pull people because they got like the smallest cut that then got infected. Janine had bandages all over her body by the time she was going home. I feel like they've done a much better job, and I'm all about seeing you guys wearing bandages if it means I'm not going to get a Jonathan Penner or James or something like that. That's stupid. I'd rather see you all with bandages than this illusion that it's all real, to the extent where it's like, are we gonna have to amputate your leg? Like, we don't need that.
Yeah, and it could have ended that way, you know. Yeah. So I'm glad it didn't. Even like wearing contacts out there, you get, because you know, if you get something in your eye and you get an eye infection, they'll pull you
from the game. Wow. So, and they did that back in what, 26, right?
The worst. Yeah,
Shamar.
Yep. Yeah.
It was kind enough to give you an umbrella at least. Yeah. That was so nice of them.
And then go on to win the final challenge. So
that's I'm really upset that. Maybe it's good that you didn't have to watch that back on TV, but that is a really, really cool moment for you to have won it, like knowing that happened. But God, that sounds awful.
You know, it's a cool story I can tell now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Huh. Well, we appreciate you coming on. This was a lot of fun. And I'm glad we got that story now, so people can just be like, wow, I don't know if I actually want to play Survivor and go hand in my hand. But Alexa, why don't you take us home here?
So we are going to be live right after the episode, Eastern time this Wednesday, 9:05 Eastern, recapping the final 7 is going to be at that point. So make sure to tune into that. Become a patron at patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We have amazing race content. We have the challenge. Phil is doing his after show. So become a patron, $1, $5, $10, $20. Romeo, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun. Really appreciate your stories and appreciate your insight. This will definitely be a good episode.
Thanks for having me. I know we tried to do it for a while, so I'm glad it finally worked out.
I am too. This was a lot of fun. Thanks, Romeo.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.